Hey, Ian. A really great thing happened the other day.
What happened, Dave? What was the great thing?
What happened? We got an email.
Okay.
That happens a lot.
That's not a big deal.
Okay. Well, forget it then.
All right.
But this was a particular email.
Oh, okay. Then particular.
We got from a listener.
All right. Listener, you say?
Yeah.
All right.
Nick Fool.
We only have listeners. We don't have viewers.
We don't have viewers. That's true.
Go ahead.
We have a limited viewership.
Continue your story.
An extensive listenership.
All right. It was great because?
Because it was from one of our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say his name again.
Okay.
Nick Fuono.
Okay. That sounds fake. it sounds like you get pulled over by a cop and you don't want to give your real name. It's like, what's your name? And then you look and you see that there's like a little Nick in his badge, like Nick. And then you look and you see a Volvo go by.
You can't.
Volvo.
You can't. Well, I think you have to say it with an Italian accent.
Okay. Wait, Dave. Let's set up the scenario. I'll be the cop pulling you over.
Okay.
Hello, sir. Do you know why I pulled you over?
My nudity?
Yeah, that's half of it. So, sir, what's
my
your name?
My desirability.
Okay, what's your... please, sir, I'm an officer of the law. What's your name, sir?
My name is Nick. Nick Vuono.
Okay, your accent just kicked in halfway through that conversation.
Yes, it did. But you can only say that name like that.
Okay.
That's my point.
Okay, fair enough. So,
if you say Corinthian leather, you can't just say Corinthian leather.
Right, which really isn't great leather, by the way.
But if you say it, you can't just say it like that, right? You have to say Corinthian leather.
Oh, because you're a vampire.
who drinks leather.
Happy Halloween, everybody. Okay, so our friend and listener.
Our friend and listener has sent us a new theme for the show.
Oh.
So we're going to get rid of the old theme.
Okay, completely.
We're going to have a brand new theme
for the show. All right, listen, I'm just going to throw that theme out. There, it's gone. Did you know I put the theme on paper?
I didn't realize that.
I've got one of those
old... You wrote it down on paper.
No, here's what I've got. I've got one of those old-timey pianos, which has the punch cards, and then you run it through, and it plays... The piano plays automatically.
It's called a player piano.
Oh, they call it a player piano.
Yeah.
All right, Mr. Modern. Okay. You know, the other day when I said, I saw four guys all singy-songy, and you went, a barbershop quartet, and made me look like a right jackass in front of the vicar.
Yes.
Okay. So anyway, I've thrown out our old theme song, The Player Piano. Mm-hmm. We might be able to sell that, make some money.
Sure.
So let's hear this new theme song.
Well, here it is right now, everyone.
From who?
This is from Nick Vuono.
Still sounds fake.
Welcome to the Sneaky Dragon Show. I don't know what to talk about, but Dave might have a list of trout. Welcome to the Sneaky Dragon Show. Welcome to the Sneaky Dragon Show. This is the Sneaky Dragon Show.
Nah.
No. Not going to use that. Now, no offense to the song itself. I mean, the song is fantastic. That is a top 10 song if I had five songs I was listening to. I would put that into the top 10.
Top 10.
No, it's a very lovely song. It's great, actually. Well, here's the problem with the song is if we played that every week, you would be required to talk about trout every week.
Which I really, unlike my extensive salmon knowledge, my trout knowledge is pretty limited. Basically, I know there's rainbow.
Yep. And that is the gay trout.
That's...
He celebrates diversity.
No, he's a pride. He has pride.
Pride.
Yeah.
Most prideful of
the. He's the pride trout.
Right.
That's all I know, though.
Okay.
I don't know any other trout. Do you know any more trout than rainbow trout?
Well, I know there's a trout lake in town.
Okay, there's a trout lake, but there's no. I mean, lake trout. But that would be rainbow trout.
Speckled trout.
Trout only exists.
Speckled trout. Would that be a trout?
I don't think so.
Devil's trout.
Devil's trout. Possibly. I do not know. You could be right. Fire eater trout.
The mudslapper.
I think a mudslapper is a member of the... I can't even think of a name of it.
The self-flagellating trout.
The self-flagellating trout.
Okay. But basically, Dave is just plumb out of trout.
I am out of, I
as
am
we
out
used
of trout.
To, as we used to call say in Canada, you're trout out of luck.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You're all net, no trout, as they say in the fishing industry.
That's what they say. All net, no... I have gone fishing for trout.
But not professionally.
But not professionally. I just went with my... Well, my grandma used to take me fishing when I was younger.
Okay.
We would go fishing. We would play crib.
Mm-hmm.
And I would read Ellery Queen Digest, which she had a great many of in her van, in her motorhome.
Okay, two-thirds of those are real old lady things. Like, the third thing for most people would be then eating hard candy
out of a dish. Which one is the fishing and... Elder Queen Digest or old lady things?
No, no. I'd say playing crib is your classic old lady thing.
You think so, do you?
I play poker with my grandmother.
My daughter, Millis, mm-hmm. plays crib like nobody's business.
Right, because she inherited the gene.
She inherited the genes?
Yeah, the genes through the crib genes.
Okay, the crib genes.
She had no choice. If she
genetic,
was...
is it?
Yeah, of course it's genetic.
Crib is genetic.
Why would anyone play that fucking game otherwise?
Because it's fun.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, here's my problem with crib.
Okay.
I played crib with this... Okay, there was... Okay. I dated someone once. And
how'd that go?
Oh, let me tell you, brother. And one of the things, two things, because there was two problems in this relationship.
Okay.
One was she was gay and didn't tell me. That's problem one.
That, yeah, I would say that is a sin of omission.
Okay. Is that what you call it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, here's how, and I've told you this, how I found out, but I'll tell the listeners. I found out because she came out of the closet a week after we broke up on CBC News wearing a shirt saying, "No one knows I'm a lesbian." And I didn't know she was a lesbian.
Didn't know that.
And I went, good job, CBC News. That was news that I can use. And I could have used 6 months ago. That would have been good news for me to know.
When you had sex, did she always insist on a threesome?
No.
And then you somehow got frozen out?
Listen, I got frozen out, all right. But it wasn't necessarily a threesome. Basically, stuff would get brought up that was like, well, that's confusing. But again, like I always say, it's like, it's nice when you find that.
Your tongue is too manly. That's what you would tell yourself.
La, 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 la. After the case, it was one of those things where when you, and it's not the first time I've broken up with someone who later realized that they were gay. But but after you've broken up with someone and that's the circumstance, it's actually kind of a relief because
that's not the first time that happened to you.
Oh, no, no, not at all.
Because I would call that an unusual circumstance.
No, it is not.
It's not unusual.
No, it's not. But here's the nice thing about it.
That has never happened to me.
After you find out about
that. Oh, no, it did.
What are you talking about? Okay, first of all.
But that was college.
Let me just say this.
Let me just say college.
It's nice afterwards because you go, there was nothing I could do. Like, that was a no-win scenario. Well, there's no way you come out of that.
I like to take it farther. I used to like to say, after me, no man was good enough.
Sure.
Or bad enough, apparently.
Yeah. No, I seem to remember both of us having a pretty good string of like, hey, well, what happened to da-da-da-da? Well, you can see her in the Pride Parade this week. Like, if we lined them end to end, we would have a fine band for Lilith Fair.
Yes. We would have a band for Lilith Fair. That's true.
And they would be fine with being laid at end to end.
That's true. Just not by us.
That's right. Okay. Back to cribbage. The other thing she did was she thought the reason I say this is because she told it to me, mm-hmm. That she was smarter than me. She was one of those people who would tell you what her IQ was.
Oh.
Which was 162.
What? I like that it's 162, not just 160.
No, because you gotta make it a number that's sort of, you know, one that you, it doesn't sound like you just made it up.
Oh, okay.
Though I bet they made it up.
You think she made it up?
You take one damn test.
Wait, she was a lesbian.
What? What's that effect?
Go on.
Okay. So she would play crib with me, mm-hmm. and she would also play it with me, and her sister would sometimes join in. And no matter what I did, I'd get the biggest eye rolls in the world. Everyone was like, oh, this guy can't play. Oh, look at this. And then they'd play, and they'd be masters at it because they played it since birth.
15-2, 15-4, the rest don't score.
Whatever. They were just jerks. They were just crib jerks.
But can I just put it this way?
15. You know what it was like, Dave? It was like crib death for me.
Can I just say 15-2, 15-4, and Ian don't score?
Okay. Well, 54-40 or fight, Dave. I don't want to. I just want to have a peaceful conversation with you.
We play. They don't call it crib in England now. I can't remember what they call it.
Royale with cheese.
Royale with cheese. That's right. Yes, because they don't have the metric system there. But the interesting thing was is when they play it competitively in England, mm-hmm. like when they have their crib clubs, they like here. I don't. You've played it, right? So we deal out six cards.
I just told you
we deal out
a
six
story
cards.
For about 10 minutes about how I do play crib.
I just wanted you to agree with me.
Okay. Now you've played this, right, Ian?
Yeah.
Yeah, we just
I just wanted to make sure. Well, it sounded like you played it once.
No, I played it a number of times. Yeah.
I don't know. So anyway,
Dave, is this your first podcast?
Yeah.
Okay. Continue.
It always feels like the first time for me.
We're recording this much later than usual, folks, so we're both a little cranky. Dave more so than me.
What did I do?
Oh, you had to take a long drive.
Well, that's true. It was a frustrating drive.
Okay. Dave is now miming
you
something.
Deal out
as he usually does.
You deal six cards.
Okay.
It's my background. I started in
mime.
You
just held up a hand with five fingers out and said, deal six cards.
I started off in mime casting, but that went nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, you deal out six cards. You put two into your crib, right? You keep four for your hand.
All right.
There, you'd get five cards. You put two go into the crib, like two cards are dealt into the crib
right
away. And you only have five cards in your hand and you have to throw away one. It's actually way more difficult because it's easier to make a nice hand with six cards.
Mm-hmm.
Five, it seems way more limited. So it's kind of tricky.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit tricky there.
Here's how you play Super Mario. You jump on things.
Well,
Mario wins.
Mario wins what?
That's why video games are popular now.
Oh,
and crib has just fallen off. You know what no one plays? No one plays crib on, say, a Facebook or whatever. People challenge you to a Scrabble game, they say. Yes, yeah. No one challenges you to a game of crib.
They should.
Well, they should, but they don't. And why don't they? For good reason.
Once again, my daughter Millis, tonight she had her friends were over to play cards, so.
Okay.
You know, she's a teen.
Okay. Is your daughter Amish?
Is she Amish?
Yes.
No,
she sounds Amish.
Why does she sound Amish?
Because she's playing crib with friends.
She's using electric lights.
And then churning butter.
Churning butter is a completely different card game.
Okay.
It's a totally different game. You deal out seven cards. You throw away three. You keep four in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
And then you count for up to 15 or runs or pairs or triples.
Yeah. Now, how do you play Old Maid?
That's a very good question. I'll ask her.
Now, does Old Maid end when the Old Maid gets married?
No.
Does she find a husband? There's only one husband in the pack. When she gets married, Sadie
ends,
Hawkins Day.
Every game ends with her dying a spinster.
No, that's terrible.
I know. Well, I can't.
What a sad, sad game that is.
It is sad.
They throw her in the river, and then you play Go Fish.
I never played Old Maid. You throw it in the river, that's right.
Well, no, we used to have the old maid cards, and we just looked at them.
They were specifically made for Old Maid.
Yeah, we just looked at them and just went, she looks sad. Let's not play that. What a weird idea for a... And then there was Confirmed Bachelor. That was a very different game.
That's true.
That game went in a lot of directions. The rules, you're just making it up as you went.
And
you had to play it in the closet. That was the other rule. You had to lock yourself in the closet. Mm-hmm. For the entire 1950s and half of the 60s.
Is that right? In Canada. Right.
In Canada.
Yeah.
You had to lock yourself in the closet a little longer in the States.
So 68.
That's right.
When it was decided that the card rooms of the nation didn't belong in the bedrooms of the government.
Very nice.
Right? Was that what it was?
Yeah. Well, do you think I'm going to laugh at that, Dave?
No.
Just watch me. We made Trudeau jokes, everybody. Trudeau jokes.
That's a callback to episode
Woo!
Two.
Woo!
Well, you know, we're getting
P.E.T. in the house.
P.T.?
P.E.T.
P.E.T., yeah. Okay.
Pierre Elliott Trudeau.
Paul Thomas Anderson in the house.
Pierre Elliott Trudeau, who I think we've mentioned before.
Many times.
A villain in the X-Men.
Yes. You mentioned that too?
Yep. Hunting out Wolverine. I wonder how that all worked out.
With a scoped rifle.
Is that what he had?
I believe so. He was hunting him, right?
No, he was just telling people, go get Wolverine.
He was in his canoe rowing.
Yep.
Looking for him.
Mm-hmm.
And with a scoped rifle.
And it turned out then the canoe was Plastic Man. And he just let him drown.
Wait, isn't that a cross? Was it a crossover between two different comic book companies?
Trudeau was very open-minded and didn't mind crossovers between companies.
Who is the Marvel...
Mr. Fantastic.
Mr. Fantastic? Oh, that's right. But he's the only one? There's no other?
There's no other stretchy guys?
What is the other stretchy guy?
Well, there's a couple of stretchy guys.
There's Plastic Man.
Yeah, there's Thin Man.
Okay.
Oh, no, sorry, Flat Man.
Flat Man?
There is the Thin Man, that's true. He is in the Liberty Legion. There is Flat Man, who is in the Great Lakes Avengers.
Okay.
Is there any other... Well, all the Skrulls can stretch.
But isn't there another one whose name is escaping me? But if I thought... Not Mr. Fantastic... Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know anything.
Once again, I always think when I think Mr. Fantastic, when they're all naming each other, I don't know if I've said this before, they're all naming each other and the Human Torch goes, what's your name, Human Torch? And he's like, I'm the Fire Guy. I'm Human Torch. How about you? I'm Gross. I'm the Thing. How about you? I'm Invisible. I'm Invisible Girl. How about you? I'm Mr. Elastic. Did you say Mr. Fantastic? Yes. Yes, I'm Mr. Fantastic.
Yes.
Clearly, he said Mr. Elastic first. People didn't hear him.
Nope.
And he went with that because you would not name yourself that unless you were the most arrogant person in the world.
Yeah, well, you always want to name yourself after a cleaner.
Yeah, and then you go like, what's our team name? Fantastic Four. So we're named after you. Yeah, kind of a Paul Revere and the Raiders type situation. Mm-hmm. All right, Paul Revere, good for you. I always wondered, like, when they have bands like that and they have the blank and the blank, Dave and his fellowmen.
Yeah.
You know, how do the fellowmen feel about that?
Yeah, or, it, well... like a band like the Dave Clark Five, where
that would be a good example.
Dave Clark was the drummer. Like, does it seem fair that the drummer is like the center of attention in a band?
Yeah, Phil Collins.
He's some lout in the back banging on things.
Mm-hmm.
Phil Collins, exactly. But Phil Collins, his was kind of like a corporate hostile takeover, right? Like when he joined Genesis, he came and he replaced someone.
Handsome McGee. Handsome McEccentric.
He replaced Handsome McEccentric?
Yeah, the Handsome McEccentric guy.
He replaced him on drums. And then
why can't I remember that guy's name? Peter
Gabriel. But Peter Gabriel was a singer. He was singing.
Yeah, like, but then he became a singer in Genesis.
After he forced Peter Gabriel out.
Right.
After through a series of psychological, you know, mind games. And
okay,
warfare.
Well, let's play that out. So I'm Peter Gabriel.
Okay.
And you be Phil Collins and you do a mind game and you force me out. So I'm going to go, all right, hello, does Peter Gabriel have a British accent?
I believe they both have a British accent.
All right, both have British accents.
Do I have to do a British accent as well?
Yeah, if you're Phil Collins. All right, here we go.
I'm not very good.
He's more Cockney. So all right.
Hello,
all right, wait, let me do this first. Okay. Hello, lads. Things worked out well for our last albums.
It was brilliant, Peter. You know, I really, really appreciate the fox head. You're doing the whole concert with the fox head on. It was brilliant.
Oh, thank you very much.
You know, I think you should do next is maybe dress as a flower.
All right.
Do like a whole concert as a flower. No one's going to be laughing at you at all.
All right, that's
good.
No one
will be laughing
flower,
at you at all,
Peter.
It's good
to go, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Wear a dress.
All right, wear a dress.
And you know what I think we need next is
do I wear a dress while I'm dressed as a flower?
No, I want you to do the flower.
All right.
And then
when I wear a dress, I get letters from Elton John.
You know what I'd like you to do? Wear a dress
yes.
with a fox's head.
All right.
I think that would be best.
So I'm a foxy lady.
You're a foxy lady. That's right. We're going to do a Jimi Hendrix cover, and then we'll also have you dress as a fox. And what I think you should really concentrate on now is really, really long songs.
All right, I will. All right. I've had enough of this. I'm out.
It was that simple, was it?
That was how it worked.
I believe so. After the lime lays down on Broad Street.
Yeah.
Bullies.
The lime?
What's that?
Did you say the lime lays down on Broad Street?
It's the lamb. The lamb lays down on Broadway. But once I started with the lime, I had to
Why
run
did
with
Phil
it.
Collins, speaking of Phil Collins, why did he do one movie and then that was the end of that?
Did you see the movie?
It was okay. It wasn't bad. It was did you see it? It wasn't bad. He was like, that's fine.
Oh, no, and he began as an actor. Like, he was...
Yeah, he was in Oliver.
He was the...
Like everyone. Every British citizen.
Davy Jones.
Jack Wilde.
Jack Wilde, was he also?
Yeah, he was the Artful Dodger. That's why he was... Jack Wilde was the Artful Dodger.
Anthony Newley was Fagin.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
But Jack Wilde was the Artful Dodger in Oliver the movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. But Davy Jones was the Artful Dodger in the video game.
That's right. Okay. Yes, that's correct.
I'm trying to just...
And I believe that Phil Collins also was the Artful Dodger in some.
He was also, in his mind, he was the Artful Dodger.
I think he actually was the Artful
Dodger. I think in his mind he was the Artful
But then all children of a certain age, you either had to go into the military or go into Oliver.
But Phil Collins was in A Hard Day's Night.
Oh, that's what?
In a crowd scene. He was one of the members of the audience watching the Beatles perform at the TV studio near the end of the film.
Ron Jeremy is in Ghostbusters in a crowd scene.
Yes, that's right.
That's
Because I was watching Ghostbusters the other day.
Yeah. And
thinking it's not very good.
And they say to him at one point, don't cross the streams. And he laughs because they thought it was a Wang joke. Okay, what's this bullshit about Ghostbusters not being good? Where's that coming from?
I don't think it's that funny.
Oh, well, incorrect.
I mean, I know it's a matter of taste.
Pretty much decided by all that Ghostbusters is pretty great.
I agree. I know it's a matter of taste. I know I fall outside the norm, mm-hmm. as usual. I'm what's called an outlier, Ian.
Speaking against chocolate ice cream,
David Dedrick. I don't like chocolate ice cream. But, you know...
Happy opposite day, everybody.
As an outlier...
Yeah. You know, yeah, what's the second part of that?
I don't know.
Liar. So get out.
I'm not
That's
lying.
That's where we put the liars outside. That's what an outlier means.
I am a true outlier, right?
Okay, so we're serial killers. Continue.
Okay.
So are people that don't love their children.
I was
going to
say something about Phil Collins. No, I can't
it's a
remember
good group.
Oh, I think that Phil Collins realized that it's a lot of work to make a movie.
Oh, okay.
Unlike making a record.
Hmm.
Which I know has work involved in it.
Because I feel like he could have gotten about half of the roles that Bob Hoskins did.
No.
Yeah. I think he's...
He's as good an actor as Bob Hoskins?
No, but if you're going for the Bob Hoskins type and Bob's asking for too much money, you just go, I'll get fucking Phil Collins.
Yeah, but Phil Collins...
He'll do Mario. He'll do Super Mario.
Did he do more
movie.
Than one movie?
I don't think so.
So the one that you saw, he was a thief?
Buster. That was what it was.
Was he a thief in it?
Yes, I believe it was Buster. Let me look this up, please.
I don't think you should look it up. I think we should just guess wildly.
Oh, my Lord. No, you just keep talking, buddy. You just keep talking. It's boring. I don't want to look it up.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter at all.
But I would, well.
Basically, if it takes longer than 10 seconds on the internet, fuck that. That's my attention span when it comes to looking at things on the internet now.
I think he did one other film. He dressed as a gorilla and played the drums to that
Something song, in the Air Tonight?
Something in the Air Tonight, yeah.
Are you thinking of a Cadbury commercial?
That he was in.
Look, there's a Cadbury commercial with a gorilla playing.
That's Phil Collins.
He's playing.
Dressed as a gorilla.
Look, he's playing Something in the Air Tonight.
Yep.
That's a gorilla.
Phil Collins dressed as a gorilla.
No,
right?
I'm saying it's a gorilla playing Something in the Air Tonight.
That is impossible.
It's a Cadbury ad.
But that's impossible. There's no way a gorilla could play Something in the Air Tonight.
Why not?
Because they cannot play songs in A major.
I think you're thinking of swimming. They gorillas, can't swim.
Gorillas are evolutionary, unable to transpose music.
Okay.
Ipso facto, QED, Crunch Berries.
Crunch Berries.
That's the modern equivalent of QED.
Okay.
QED.
Once again, folks, we're doing the show pretty late. Pretty late. Crunch Berries is where we're going at. And listen, folks, I'm a dumb guy. My former girlfriend told me.
That's right.
I'm a sack of dumb.
Ian can't play crib.
Look, here's the thing. If you really
What did she say when you played chess with her?
If you really are, oh, Jesus. Don't even start. You know, our big problem was cryptic crosswords, which she gave me like about, I swear, 15 seconds worth of instructions on how to do them. And then she just like burned through them and just like, why aren't you getting it? It's so easy. The first word, you just transpose these two letters, which then is a pun on that old Chaucer poem. Come on.
That's when you had to out yourself as a gorilla and say, I'm unable to transpose.
And just start playing Something in the Air Tonight. Oh, Lord.
Boom, 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 boom.
Well, it was already a weird relationship because she was a former nun, and as an ex-Catholic, that felt strange.
Wouldn't that be exciting, alluring, enticing?
You know what? Everything that's
boundary-breaking?
Right. Everything that's exciting and alluring and boundary-breaking in a relationship off the top, within about a month is, it's creepy.
Is that right?
Well, you know, you're just like, hey, you know what? She's one crazy bad girl. And then after a month, yikes!
Are you making a sly comment about my relationship with that 76-year-old woman?
Are you the guy from Harold and Maude?
This was, well, I really liked Harold and Maude.
That's right.
So.
Now we'll always know where that ring is. Aw, you say?
But no one said that at the end of Titanic, did they?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, James Cameron has made his living now just trying to find that fucking diamond again. Because as it turns out, it was a real diamond.
It was a real diamond she threw off?
Yeah.
He's like, oh, it was his wife's engagement ring.
Oh, is that what happened?
Got mixed up with the costume.
Now that explains all the troubles.
Yep. Yep. And he's been looking for it ever since.
Oh, James Cameron.
He is quite the character.
Yep.
He made, how many movies did he make that were really good?
Oh, I think Terminator 2 is a really good movie.
Three movies?
Aliens is really good. Mm-hmm. Terminator 2 is really good. What am I missing in the James Cameron?
True Lies?
Nope.
Don't like it?
No, well, not don't like it, but it's not really good.
The Abyss?
Yeah, that's really good. Yeah, I'll give you that.
I really like that film, except the ending. It's a cop-out.
Which they keep changing every so often.
They keep changing every. Well, they released an extended cut that showed more about the
alien
stuff. Yeah,
it's basically like the movie Clue. You know, you don't know what ending you're going to get. And you're like, oh, that's all right.
It's not any. But it's never pleasing. Like the drama of him going down to defuse the bomb. I mean, that's where it should end.
Mm.
You know, he saves everything.
Well, I like them saying, you know, we changed our minds because, you know, you did this. And so, you know, that's nice. I like that.
The alien saying that?
Yeah. You don't like that bit?
I just find it's just kind of, you know, alienness ex machina, you know, like, you know, you just.
Though sometimes it's nice that a movie will do something that only a movie can do.
But I guess they're there throughout the film, so it's not inexplicable that they show up at that point.
Yeah, the aliens don't just show up at the last second in L.A. Confidential and solve the mystery.
Because they have that
scene. That would be pretty good. That would make L.A. Confidential better. It's just like, and then aliens landed and just went, he was the murderer. What?
Right.
Off they go.
I'm Glink. I'm Glunk. He's the murderer.
I'm just setting this up for later. We did get an email today with someone sending us their top 10 movie list. So just saying, speaking of movies, since we were discussing movies, or we could do that now and just jam on it and just get out of the way. Why not?
Sure, let's do it.
Let's do it.
If we start it later, the show will go inexorably long.
It will be a bunch of excrement is what you're saying. And I agree. We, David, we do go on. All right. So this.
Yes, we do.
All right. This is from one of our listeners whose name I have cut off.
Tom.
Good job.
Tom Calloway.
Is it Tom Calloway? Let me take a look at what his name is. I got to go back to my actual thing. Tell one of those boring stories you tell.
Tom
Calloway. Stories? You're right. Okay, we're gonna go back. Okay.
Didn't have time for my boring story.
That
everyone.
Was mean of me. Okay, so we're gonna
my boring story, or are you forgetting his name?
Huh? What?
Okay,
I don't know. Remember, I am a dumb guy.
Go into story.
I'm dumb enough that I.
What about when you played backgammon?
When I played backgammon, play backgammon.
Yeah, of course she did.
It's all right.
So you're okay. You're smart enough for backgammon.
You can dumb your way through backgammon.
Well,
I know it's strategy, but it's less strategy than the other ones. But cryptic crossword.
Hear that, backgammon fans?
Cryptic crossword. Go fuck yourself.
Backgammoners.
What about? Is that what they call them?
I'm assuming that
backgammon sounds like a type of ham.
It does. It's no gammon. Gammon is wasn't gammon something?
Maybe isn't it ham? Gammon? Isn't gammon ham?
Maybe it was.
I think it is.
I think you're thinking of Hammond.
I don't eat pork, so I don't know. Moving on to a top 10 list from our friend.
From Catholicism to Judaism.
Now, he said he's a huge film buff. He loves any chance to talk about his favorite films. Making a list so small as 10 was challenging. If you want, he can make us a top 100 list.
Well, I think, as you said earlier, for our top 100 show, or our 100 episode. We will go through Tom Calloway's 100 films, film by film, and discussing each in minute detail.
Right.
With footnotes.
In 1 minute.
In 1 minute?
We will do them all in 1 minute.
Speedcasting.
Okay. All right. Number 10 film from Tom Calloway is Dr. Strangelove, or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb. If you're a smart person, you have to say you like this movie.
If you're a smart person, you have to say
you have to go like, Dr. Strangelove.
I do like that film a lot.
Very good, Dr. Strangelove.
I saw that film. We had a television that wasn't downstairs. We had a rolling set that it was actually my brother's, but for some reason I had it in my room one night.
Because you were the bigger brother and you could beat him up.
No, I somehow finagled it and he might have been away. And I watched.
That's finagling. That's called theft.
Yes. No, it's called borrowing without asking.
Borrowing that once without again. Asking. The test of whether you're doing the right thing or wrong thing is say the words, Your Honor, afterwards.
Well, the thing
is, I finagled the set, Your Honor.
If you're the older brother, mm-hmm. everything everyone takes from you is stealing. If you are the younger brother, everything you take is borrowing without asking.
Mm-hmm.
But what's yours is mine and what's mine is yours. That's kind of the younger brother theory.
Sure is.
You know.
And speaking of sharing, Dr. Strangelove.
What do you think of that film?
What do I think of the film? You know what? I think it's one of those films, like The Godfather, that I've seen too much of beforehand that I can't give it. I don't have a clean slate to view it on.
Okay.
Like I've seen so much of it before mm-hmm. I saw it
yeah.
that it's just like adding pieces to a jigsaw puzzle and going, that's basically what I thought it was. But it's creepy. Like it's a horror movie.
Yeah.
It's a comedy movie. You know, it's like the horror of comedy. It's like everyone is so fucked up. There's nothing we can do. We're mm-hmm. all doomed. Holy shit. And you leave it going, it's a little bit terrifying, but it's also very funny. And Peter Sellers. Amazing.
Well, when we were teenagers, way back when.
Back in the summer of 69.
We had The Day After.
Yeah.
We had Threads.
Yeah.
We had that hysterical Australian doctor talking about nuclear holocaust.
We had the sitcom Oops for three episodes.
We had the sitcom Oops?
Do you remember that?
No, I do not.
It was a sitcom that took place after a nuclear apocalypse. And
wow.
I think there was like 6 to 8 people surviving. And it was a sitcom, a straight out sitcom
yeah.
with an audience.
What a rich,
with a laugh track.
What a rich vein of humor.
With like, you know, talking
yeah.
about how we're running out of food.
Yeah.
And would you like to do it? Not if you're the last man on Earth. Soon enough. But you know, good for them taking
wow.
the risk on
they did.
That kind of thing.
They did.
But yeah, you're right. We lived in a very you're gonna die soon
we
kids
lived
age.
We lived in that age and but
until
really...
our balls dropped, in which case it was like, oh, by the way, have you heard about AIDS? Oh, thanks a lot, guys. Thanks so much. And that's like, okay, well, now I'm past that point. I'm just going to go have some food. All food will kill you. Oh, come on. I'm just going to have some kids. Can't let them outside. They're all going to get raped. Jesus,
we got so used to living under the hysterical cloud of nuclear.
You're going to wait till it's time for
nuclear
us.
Armageddon.
We're all old and it's about time for us to die. And you're like, at least I get to go to heaven. They found out it doesn't exist and it's just an alien that eats you. Boo, boo.
They found out it doesn't exist. Against everyone's expectations.
It's just an alien with a vacuum cleaner. That's what the tube is. Boo, boo, boo.
The tube.
We're the bummer generation.
The tube.
That's what the light is.
Well, I've got to say that of all the multiple actor films, or multiple role films played by one actor.
Besides the clumps.
Besides the clumps. But because those films are ripe for hamminess and overacting and just horribleness. Strangelove is actually really good. Like, Peter Sellers is so good in that film, in those three roles.
Yeah.
As the general major.
Did he ever top it after that?
Did he ever top it as...
Top his performance in that film? Or was that...
No,
that's, I don't... Is that his Citizen Kane?
That is Citizen Kane. Well, he didn't make it, but...
But as I say, like, when you think Orson Welles, you either think big guy selling peas, or you think Citizen Kane. Now, when you think Peter Sellers, you probably think Pink Panther.
Yeah.
But what Pink Panther do you think about? That's confusing.
Yeah.
The Pink Panther films are very weird. because they're all so radically different until you get into, like, the Crazy Town ones.
Mm-hmm.
But back to this one.
No, I would say that's the pinnacle for Peter Sellers.
Very good. All right, moving on to number 9.
And he actually kind of got worse as an actor.
Moving back to number 10.
Oh, moving back to number 10.
Go ahead. He gets worse as an actor.
After the show. I mean, he just kind of changed. Like, he became more hammy and stuff.
Right.
Like, if you see him in Lolita, I don't know. It just,
do you know who...
He became more of a goof.
I liked him when he became Jeffrey Rush for a brief period of time.
Okay.
That was good. Number 9, Strangers on a Train.
Number 9. Strangers on a Train.
Very good.
It's a very good movie. Farley Granger.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the other actor's name?
Ooh, I do not know.
William McDaniels. No, I don't know. I just made that up.
That's right.
But no, it's a great film. And what's interesting about that film...
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I didn't read the full name. Strangers on a Train, or just Friends You Haven't Met on a Train.
Really?
No.
Okay. Or how I stop worrying and learn to love strangers on a train.
I just want every one of these to have like the extra name.
Okay.
But go ahead, please.
So what's interesting about that film, it's based on a book by Patricia Highsmith, I think. Is that her name?
Okay.
And but it take the ending. Have you seen the movie?
Yes.
You know the ending on the carousel, the crazy carousel ride?
I think so, yeah. It's been a while.
It's actually from another book called The Moving Toy Shop by Edmund Crispin.
Mm-hmm.
So he took the ending from a totally different mystery novel and put it into at the end of Strangers on a Train.
Here's a weird thing. Speaking of borrowing, I just was reading this morning because I'm...
Which must have been disappointing for Edmund Crispin. Like, your book gets optioned.
Yeah.
Perhaps by Hitchcock.
Right.
You're like, this is exciting.
Yeah.
Finally, my book's going to get made into a movie. My books are going to sell. This is going to be awesome. And then all that happens is your book gets cannibalized. The highlight of it gets put on the end of a different film and you get nothing.
You call that being Hitchcock blocked.
Yes.
Yeah. The speaking of things that were borrowed from things, and this I've got no transition point to this, but it was just a neat bit of trivia.
Okay.
I was reading this morning.
Okay.
Was the because I'm doing an action improv movie, right? Not movie. Well, it's movie, but it's live. It's got live and movie parts. Anyway, it's an improv thing. I'll tell you about it later, folks.
Okay.
But I don't want to tell you too much. We've been watching Die Hard to kind of get ready for it.
Oh, yeah.
Very good film.
Very good film.
Not on this list, but very good film. Mm-hmm. I forget the book that it was based on, but the book that came before it, it's in a series, was called The Detective, and that was made into a movie, and that was a movie starring...
Frank Sinatra?
Frank Sinatra.
Okay.
So the movie The Detective with Frank Sinatra is actually... Like, Die Hard is actually a sequel to The Detective.
Really?
Yes. In book form, it is, and...
How close is the movie to the book, I wonder?
Actually, the movie is fairly close. They've changed things like, you know, the
is it called
the Cold
John
War.
McCain or McCain?
No,
the
name is changed.
Okay.
But like most of the lines that you like in it are in the book.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, that was kind of interesting. Knowing that Die Hard is actually a sequel to...
Now I want to read them both.
Yeah, well, there you go. So they're trivia, everybody. See, that was worth listening to this podcast just to find that out.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Number 8.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Jeez. You know, when you're reading them, do I move you along?
Yes,
I think I do. The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari, or Don't Look in That Cabinet.
Okay. Now, that film...
I have not seen.
That film always fascinated me. And I will say that I have half seen that film.
Okay.
It is a film about somnambulism.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was watching it, I fell asleep. So I don't know if that was a point of the film.
I fell asleep during Inception.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting.
Two sleepy time movies.
Yeah.
But that's sleepy time.
Yeah. Because I always was fascinated by that film because it has some really great images associated with it. Like if you're reading...
I've seen chunks of it, of course.
If you're reading books about film about, especially about classic silent films, you know, it's always going to have images from the cabinet of Dr. Caligari. My view of silent films is if it isn't slapstick, you know, if it isn't like Buster Keaton, Charlie Chaplin, Harold Lloyd, Charlie Chase, Harry Langdon, I don't care.
You don't like a Metropolis?
It doesn't do that much for me.
Nosferatu.
I can watch a little bit of it, but it doesn't. I just, over time, I just get kind of get bored of it.
To me, those films like a Nosferatu, it really depends what music you're playing.
Yeah.
If you're seeing it like live at a nice concert hall or whatever on the screen with an orchestra playing.
Yeah.
Ooh, it's good stuff.
Interesting.
If you're watching it just on TV with a, Not so good. All right.
So you want the full Giorgio Moroder version of disco version of
Yeah,
Metropolis.
I always want Moroder.
Moroder.
He wrote. Number 7, Apocalypse Now.
Apocalypse Now.
Sequel to Apocalypse Then.
Apocalypse Now.
I saw this in the wrong way, I think.
You watched it backwards.
I did, actually.
Okay.
I watched the making of first. Oh. I watched the documentary.
By George Hickenlooper.
Which was
Hearts of Darkness.
Yeah. Right. I watched that first.
Yeah.
They played it as a double bill and then played Apocalypse Now.
That's wrong.
So I'm watching.
That's wrong.
There you go.
They got it mixed up.
They might have. So watching it, I had, you know, seen, like I was going, oh, he's really cut his hand there. That's too bad. Mm-hmm. Ooh, that thing. Mm-hmm. Oh, that poor goat. Oh, I don't care for that. Oh, Dennis Hopper's not really all, he's not acting. Okay. That's weird. All right. Oh, speaking of people not acting.
He's having a heart attack.
In Die Hard. I'm going to keep coming back to Die Hard.
Okay.
Alan Rickman,
yeah.
When he's doing that fall, the big fall at the end, they actually released
him. Cursed Harry Potter.
They released him a second before they were supposed to because they wanted to get a more realistic reaction.
Oh.
So if you look at him, he's going like, and apparently fucking furious about that. Did not care for it at all.
John McTiernan.
Yeah.
I really like John McTiernan made two really good films. And then what happened?
I don't know.
It's really strange.
Well, he might be in this building. They say on nights like this, he wanders the halls casting for movies.
Bloody John.
Bloody John. If you say his name 5 times, his movies will start playing. Anything else about Apocalypse Now? I feel like we should say more about
it. We should say more about it. Okay.
Okay. It was of the time.
It's certainly
of the
time.
It was raw as hell. It was, the soundtrack is amazing. Mm. You know, the soundtrack powers that movie through.
I think it's a really great film. I just don't enjoy Marlon Brando in it.
Does he take you out of the movie?
Yeah, I feel like.
And out dinner and dancing. And then says, where's the butter?
Then wants to play cribbage with me and puts down my intelligence. Marlon, you disappointed me so much.
I had a dream about Marlon Brando the other night where I'm talking to him and we're in the CBC for some reason. We're just having a conversation. And I say, was there ever a role that you ever wanted to play and you never got a chance to play? And he went, oh, yeah, The Cowardly Lion. I always wanted to play that. I thought
you always wanted to sing it?
Yeah, well, he was going like, you know, it'd be nice every night, like do it live on stage. Because you couldn't do it like in film, you know, but you do it live on stage every night and like, you really make it scary and like really try to like, you know, just terrify the audience. And then you pull it back and you make them laugh and you're roly-poly. And then you go for them. And then you scare them because they think they're going to eat you. So anyway, that was just my dream of Marlon Brando.
Wow.
But yeah, I think
you for sharing.
I think when you actually, the Marlon Brando, which is, you know, it's really good, but it really takes it almost feels like a bunch of different movies, but maybe that's what it's supposed to. Maybe you are getting into madness. And so when you finally get to that point, you're in the heart of madness or the heart of darkness. I just coined that phrase.
I like that I like how it goes. I do like how it goes. I like the voiceover. I love Martin Sheen in his role. I love I love Robert Duvall in it. I think the scene with the Playboy bunnies is great. The journey down the river where everyone's getting progressively kookier is fantastic. I love everything about it. I just found Marlon Brando just didn't work for me. Kurtz didn't work for me.
Saying he could have been somebody.
And
he could have been a contender.
He could have been a contender. Instead, he was a pretender. And I had read Heart of Darkness before I saw Apocalypse Now, and I was aware of the intended.
Oh, okay.
So I was watching it with that in mind as well. But I think it's a really good film. It has a great soundtrack. I just mean soundscape.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing you got to think about, like the Vietnam War and all the films that have come out about the Vietnam War. People think it's terrible what happened.
Yeah.
But
you differ in that.
Well, here's what I think.
Okay.
I would say, but was it worthwhile for all these wonderful soundtracks? And films.
And films.
When you just when
Platoon,
you just, when you think of yeah, Hamburger Hill,
yeah,
you know, all these films. Frankly, the MASH TV series was really based on it. You couldn't you know.
And the movie MASH as well.
Yeah. You know what, you just think about all the movies and wonderful soundtracks. Wasn't it worth that war?
The one with Jane Fonda and John Voight and Bruce Stern. What's that one called?
That's called Slap Dappy and the Happy Mob.
That's true. Yeah, there's a lot of films.
Now, here's, I mean, I think this is the this has been the problem. With
the Deer Hunter?
Deer Hunter, yeah.
Bit of a bore.
And but here's the thing. I think this is the problem with the war in Afghanistan, and none of the candidates address this, is that where is the soundtrack?
Where are the war films?
Where? Well, you could have the war film. There have been. You got your Hurt Lockers and your whatnot. But
that's in Afghanistan, though.
Where is that?
That's Iraq.
I've not seen it. Is it Iraq?
Yeah.
Well, we had Iraq, too. Let's go with that.
And what's interesting about that film is that you never see a locker that's injured during that whole film.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
So I was kind of, I was a little disappointed by that
movie. But like, where are beautiful, beautiful soundtracks? If you had a great soundtrack to the Afghan War, Mr. President, people would get behind it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get a little Smash Mouth in there.
Aren't they leaving Afghanistan?
Yeah. Without the soundtrack, like, being complete. Come on, man.
So Smash Mouth?
Yeah.
Wide Mouth Mason?
Yeah, all mouth things.
That's all the songs that came out of it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Doctors.
The Smith song, Big Mouth Chicks again.
Oh my gosh, it's been like in there for like what, 12 years?
Yeah.
Come on, think of all the great music. But no, we have no soundtrack to that. And that's why people like the Vietnam War, because it had a great soundtrack. Number six.
Forrest Gump.
Forrest Gump.
Another Vietnam movie.
Very good. We can just go with Vietnam movies for
a while. I'll just name them as you go.
Please do. And I'll keep bringing up Die Hard for no reason.
Yes, okay.
Die Hard number 4, by the way, not originally a Die Hard movie. They just slapped the John McCain thing on.
Oh, well, it read like that.
Stink, stink, stunk. I know, in the next one, they got like his son. We don't want to see that shit.
No, we don't need that.
We don't need that shit.
He's
by the way,
to be
get
like...
back together with your wife, by the way, because that was the point of the first fucking movie.
Yeah, Bonnie Bedelia.
Good God. It's like whenever they break up Superman and Lois Lane, it's just like, don't be an idiot.
Yeah.
Don't be an idiot, comics. And they have. They have again.
Oh, they have broken up.
Dumb.
Because he's going with Wonder Woman, right?
Yeah. He's now macking on Wonder Woman. What's that about?
Macking.
You know what? I think what he's going to find out, he's got a little of the same problem I have. See if she's playing crib with you. That's sign one, buddy.
That's right.
All right. Number six. Only needs one letter. Can you guess?
One letter?
One letter, yeah. Try and guess.
It's not W. Not W?
No, but that would be a one-letter movie.
Oh, I can't think of it. Sorry.
Really? I'll give you 25 guesses.
A?
No.
B?
No.
C?
B movie was a movie. C? D. Deep Blue Sea.
D?
D? No, forget it.
E?
M.
Oh, M. Oh, okay. With Peter Lorre.
Peter Lorre, yep.
Directed by Fritz Lang.
I have not seen that one.
Once again.
Fritz Lang, who directed some of the best Roadrunner cartoons.
Fritz Lang did?
Fritz Freeling, I'm thinking of.
Fritz Freeling. That's a different one.
When he was, whenever the murders were about to happen in this movie, M, it would always be da 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 da.
M goes off the edge of the cliff and falls hundreds of feet down to a cloud of dust.
And you go, yikes! Hold a little sign.
That's Fritz Freeling.
Yep. Sorry about that.
He directed M.
Very good.
Roadrunner.
I've not seen M. Please, your opinions on M, sir.
Great film.
Sequel to L.
Sequel to L, which, of course, it was followed by N, and then by O. And that was a surprising film.
Isn't there a movie called O, like The Awakening of O?
Probably, yeah, I think so.
Oh,
yeah,
what is that one? Damn it.
The Education of O.
There's something like that.
It's one of those 60s films.
Boy, it'd be good if we knew that.
You think, oh, this is going to be great. It's a dirty film, and
it
never quite gives it to you.
So dumb.
It's late. I just use that excuse all the time now. I'm tired.
Okay. Anything to say about M?
M? Oh, it's a great film. It's a classic film.
It's about James Bond's
Peter Lorre is a child murderer.
Mm-hmm.
And
he kills all of the little rascals, except for the one who later becomes a murderer himself.
He's an outsider, and the end of the film is pretty grim.
Okay.
But it's a good movie.
I've seen chunks.
Fritz Lang.
Okay. All right. Number five. I'm going to give you the initials of this movie, and you will guess.
Okay.
B-O-F.
Best of Friends.
Yes, Bride of Frankenstein.
Bride of Frankenstein.
Right.
Okay, well, it's a lot better than Frankenstein.
Bit of a shotgun wedding.
It's a bit, I don't know, those films, I know they're classics.
You didn't care for The Bride of Frankenstein?
It's good. It's okay.
I saw it right after Frankenstein. Yeah. I saw it at the Real Theater
we
here in
town.
We
saw it together.
Well, of course we did, because we see every movie together.
We saw them together. But didn't you feel like those films feel so, like, abrupt now?
Yeah. They kind of feel like when they end, it's just like, and we're done. Everybody's out of time, everybody. Really, what happened to the monster? He just walked back into the fire. What? What? Like, I don't I mean, one of my things I don't like in movies is when they ape TV shows and they do the, there's one thing I don't understand. Like, I don't need that scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But just like, really? Just that, the end?
Just gonna end there?
Yeah. Though I do like the ending, sorry, spoilers, of American Werewolf in London, which it does end quite abruptly. And then, like, music plays, you know,
how about
pretty good.
No Country for Old Men.
Yes.
Where, like, the movie ended. And I kind of started, my mind wandered because he was talking and I was kind of bored by it.
Yeah.
So I, like, stopped paying attention and I was kind of thinking about something, parking or whatever. And then the movie ends. I was like, what? Did I miss a key scene? So I watched the film again just to get to that scene. And I realized I didn't really miss anything.
Well, I mean, that's the Coen brothers for you. That's also a serious man kind of ends with like, what the? Oh, what's
serious man
and we're done.
Serious man ends with some serious shit.
Yeah.
That's a great film.
I think I've mentioned this on here before as well, but I broke up with a therapist because of that movie.
She did not like it.
She didn't. She came in and just went, I just saw a movie. It was terrible. What was it? Serious Man. We're not going to be... Like, I just phoned it in for that one. I was just like, well, you're wrong. You're just wrong about things.
What was her objection to it?
She just went, oh, it's just so stupid.
Really?
Yeah, and like, I'm a big fan of not calling things stupid. Like, that
we
really
that.
Bugs me.
Yeah.
Really bugs me, being that kind of dismissive. It's just like, I wouldn't mind if she just went, it just wasn't to my taste.
Yeah.
Or it was a bit too depressing for me or whatever, but just like, it's stupid. No, you're stupid is the first thing I always want to say back.
That is a great film.
It really is.
That is a great movie.
Okay.
Would you say that's her best film?
Wow.
I might go there.
That could be.
I might go there.
That could be.
That is.
I would need to see a list.
You need to see a list.
Yeah.
I can list it right now. I can list
okay,
the films
for it.
I can't really.
All right.
That's Blood Simple.
Raising Arizona for its own thing.
That's okay.
No. I think Raising Arizona for the type of film it is pretty much the best type of film of that type of film. It's
okay.
Tough to compare the two together.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I really do like Raising. Oh, geez. I like Hudsucker Proxy a lot, too.
Do you really?
I really do.
I don't.
Oh, I do so, like so, Oh Brother. I like Oh Brother, Where Art Thou now that I'm thinking about it, too. I like a lot of films. Let me just say I enjoy them. Mm-hmm. I don't want to pick a child.
Yeah.
You know what? I know this is something Dave does at his house with Millicent Phyllis. It's like every week or so he picks his favorite child.
That's true.
I just don't think that's a good idea.
It's worked so far. They're both against each other and for me.
Number four.
Yes.
Okay.
Wait, what was the last one?
Bride of Frankenstein.
Oh, number
five.
Okay. Number four.
All right. Number four. It's a black and white one. So Dave goes, blah.
What do you mean?
He hates black and white.
Yeah.
This one involves.
But I love minstrel shows. Go figure.
All right. All right. Like, I'm going to give you some clues to this one.
Okay.
This one involves. All right. One of the Ten Commandments being broken.
Okay.
It also involves a means of transportation.
Okay.
What movie am I thinking of? And actually reading off this. It's a classic. Everyone calls it. This is one classic movie.
I got it. Strangers on a Train.
No, sir. Because Don't Talk to Strangers is not one of the Ten Commandments.
But you said the name involves murder.
Oh, no, the name involves one of the Ten Commandments.
Oh, the name involves one of the
As in, like, something you shouldn't do in the Ten Commandments.
Oh.
Don't do this.
Oh, okay.
And a means of transportation.
Okay, a means of transportation.
Yes.
Let me just think
First word is the.
The streetcar named Coveting?
The Bicycle Thief.
Oh, I've never seen that film.
What?
Never seen that film.
You should see that film.
Is it really good?
It is really good. Yeah.
Okay.
I've
not seen that film.
Here was what. Whenever I think the Bicycle Thief, I always think of the Carol Burnett sketch. Did you see the little sketch that was very funny about the Bicycle Thief? I also thought, like, well, this looks like this is depressing. A poor guy loses his bike, and I don't want to fucking see that.
Yeah.
No, I watched that with my sister-in-law. She was studying film. And brought it over one day. You want to see this? And I was like, yeah. And it's a very entertaining. It is a bit of a bummer film. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you. That much.
Okay.
But you really like the kid and you like the dad, and you really get like this, oh, come on! Like, it's one of those that you leave outraged.
Wow.
And, life. And also, you learn, lock your bike up.
Yeah.
Or stuff happens.
In post-war Italy.
Yeah, that's my review of the movie. Lock your bike up. Maybe
that's,
I am
that's what
dumb.
That's what Ian took away from
as
it.
A sack of hammers.
Well-known dumb things.
She's listening to this right now, and she's just thinking. Okay, number three is a movie my dad didn't like.
Your dad did not like this film, and no. That movie is...
And it took place, let's say it took place 11 years ago. It wasn't made 11 years ago.
Okay.
It took place 11 years ago.
2001, The Space Odyssey?
Yes.
Odyssey?
Yeah, a story of the far past of 11 years ago.
11 years ago.
And technology from that period of time.
Well...
I find it dull, but I'm a dummy dumb dumpkins. It's pretty. It's a very pretty movie.
I saw it in grade 10 on video, on primitive video.
Right.
And pan scan.
Right.
So it wasn't the best way to watch that film.
No, it would scan it and then you would pan it.
I would pan it. So I kind of, I have a hard time with kind of the circumstances have kind of worked against that film. But I think it's a pretty good film. I'm not a big Kubrick fan though, so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, almost. There's very few Kubrick films that I wouldn't go, just cut now. Cut now. Cut two.
Yeah.
Just cut to something. We get it. We see it. It's the, oh, for crying out. He's still on the big wheel through the thing. We get it. It's scary hallway. Yeah, the party's creepy. They're all wearing masks.
Well, that's the best part of...
We fucking get it.
So that's the best part of 2001 is the scene on the spaceship with Dave and Hal. I mean, that's...
Yeah, that's fine. That's
great.
Fine.
But you know what's so hilarious about that is my typical complaint about films by Kubrick and people like that is that the people we really feel sorry for isn't the astronaut who got offed in space by the stupid computer. We feel sorry for Hal who's singing Daisy while being slowly destroyed by Dave.
Yeah, it's not his fault.
Whose fault?
It's not Hal's fault.
Yes, it is. Hal killed the guy.
Well, not his fault. He was like everything got fucked up. Like he didn't have a shot. He's trying to make things right.
No, he killed the guy because he made a mistake, and then those guys were talking about him and saying, "Well, I might have to shut him down." And he read their lips and then proceeded to try to kill them.
Wasn't his programming though that he had to do something that he was not able to do, and so that made him crazy? Am I wrong about that?
I think you're thinking of a different film. I think you're thinking of Man on Fire.
Oh, boy. Okay. We're going to have to look that up. It's been a while, but I think...
It's been a while for me, too.
I think Hal was talking through my hat.
My three-cornered hat.
And they did a sequel. They did the 2010, and they did not do a sequel after that except in book form.
Which was 2021?
Sure. Let's go with that.
Okay.
Let's go with that. And of course, Hal, named after...
Hal Wickman?
That's right.
Hal
Jordan.
Hal Linden.
The Green Lantern.
Actually, it's from IBM, right?
That's correct, because you moved the letters.
H-I-A-B.
You moved the letters over.
Yeah.
And then they mentioned, like, oh, no, it's nothing to do with IBM in this movie at all.
No,
but if you look in the movie, there's the letters IBM are in the movie.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay, number two. Oh, we are moving ahead. We are moving ahead.
We're in time?
That's right. This movie may have you seeing red, Dave.
Is the movie Red starring Warren Beatty?
No, that would have been a terrible clue.
Okay. Would have me seeing Red. Would it be...
I don't want to wave this red flag at you and make you angry.
This film is the Matador.
Yeah, Matador. The movie Matador.
Well, you know, with Pierce Brosnan and the other guy.
Raging Bull.
Oh, Raging Bull. Yeah, Raging Bull. Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
You know what? Because it's nice seeing an actor get fat.
Well, that film...
And it's black and white, so you don't like it.
Yeah. No, I do like black and white. What are you talking
about? Where's the color? Turn it up.
Shut up.
Turn up the color.
Look at my list, mister. Mr. Films from within 10 years of the list. I can appreciate it.
Yeah, I more appreciate it
than enjoy it. I can appreciate that film, but it's really grueling.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is...
And it's supposed to be grueling.
Like, I could see... Like, I've already said, my favorite Scorsese film is Casino, which I guess is kind of a weird choice, but...
Okay, I have not seen that.
Well, you should see it.
Yeah, maybe.
I really enjoy that movie. I don't know why.
There's a bit of me when it comes to, and we've discussed this before, when I see gangster movies, I just go, just arrest the fuckers. You know what? I don't care about your problems. You're like a bunch of killers and you steal shit.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck you. Fuck you. It's just like the adventures of like seeing a bunch of rapists get together and like hang out and just go, my daughter's having problems at school. I don't care. I want to see you arrested.
Maybe that's what
you're
I like
all
about
criminals.
Because Casino, Casino has like...
You all make life terrible for people.
Like Goodfellas, they're all awful.
Mm-hmm.
But you kind of like them, even though they're awful.
Okay.
And you kind of feel sorry for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Even when everything goes to crap. They're kind of the guy... Because of this... But Casino doesn't have that element to it. Like, really... They're all really unpleasant.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they get their comeuppance, it's kind of pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
The film actually has a really good ending.
Okay. Maybe I'll see it for the ending then. But that's it's a core problem I have with those kind of movies. Same with The Sopranos. I know it's a great TV series. I completely understand. But I'd like to see the guy arrested on episode 2 and have it turn into Jailbreak. That's just me.
Yeah.
He loves his family. I don't fucking care. He's stealing from people.
Well,
he's killing people.
But once again, there's a show where you see it hollow him out.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And yet I like Breaking Bad. So, well, there you go.
Yeah, what you're a hypocrite.
Well, but here's the thing. It led you to it in Breaking Bad. Whereas, like, I think they start with, like here's the thing. I don't think...
Typical non-cribbage player.
Do you think Breaking Bad glamorizes the world that he's in?
Do you think The Sopranos glamorizes the world he's in?
Yeah.
Oh, then you haven't seen the whole series.
Okay, but I think, like, when you...
I don't think so. I think you see him...
I have seen, like, the first... I watched the first season. And, like, you know...
Did you see the one with the guy with the sporting goods store that they basically rape? I mean, they don't truly rape him, but, I mean, they just take him... You know, just destroy him. Played by the guy who was the Terminator robot thingy in Terminator 2.
Do you in The Sopranos not empathize? Do you empathize with Tony?
You do for a while, and that's
then you drop that.
That's the clever
that's
part of that show.
All
I
right,
think.
Maybe I missed the clever part that happened in the second season.
Well, it's an ongoing thing until you, like I say, it slowly hollows them out.
All right,
you
know? It feels a bit like, and I know in the Sopranos themselves, they watch the Godfather movies and go like, that's what we want to be. Yeah. You know, that's what they dream of them being.
Yeah.
And
you're
not like that at all.
No.
You're not like that at all. But I still think like there's the equivalent of that. With people watching The Sopranos going, hey, that looks like, that's a thing.
Maybe.
You know,
but you can say that about anything.
I think specifically that because movies have made organized crime glamorous.
Do you know a movie
in a way that other crime is not made glamorous?
Do you know a movie that doesn't make it that glamorous, but is a really good film?
No.
Ghost Dog.
Am I thinking the same film of the guy that kind of becomes a samurai and is wandering?
Yeah.
Around? Yeah, that's a pretty good film.
That's a great
film. I like
that film. Yeah.
Okay. All right, number one, his number one movie, you might think should be two slots down. What? That's the clue.
So it's three.
Mm-hmm. And what's a really good movie that's got that in the title, generally?
The Three Amigos.
Yeah, The Three Amigos. What's a really good movie? And we've mentioned one of the people involved already.
It has three in the title.
Yeah, well, not technically three, but something, a variation on the word three.
Oh, okay. So a variation, so The Third Man.
Yes.
That's a good movie.
Yes, it is.
That's a really good film.
Agreed. Good
really
job. Good job for having a good movie
You know why that movie's so good? The Zither.
Because it's in color.
It's
in black and white. You're
it's
right.
Black
Damn
and white. White. It's a Zither.
What about the Zither?
The music in it.
Yeah?
Zither music.
Let's hear a little Zither.
Ring, 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 ring. You know the music playing in it?
Yep.
Did you know that Orson Welles played the character Harry Lime in a radio show after that was?
No, I did not.
Yeah. So
by the way, Orson Welles was who we brought up earlier on. That's why I'm saying that.
Yeah.
Orson Welles, amazing in that.
Amazing in, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That cuckoo clock speech. And I think it was Carol Reed who directed it, the British director. But I think there's a lot of Orson Welles in his choices, his angles and stuff like that, like the way he lit it and framed it. I don't know if Welles influenced him, personally influenced him while he was there to do those sort of things. But I think maybe Reed having Welles in the movie was like,
around, you're
hey,
like, I better
let's
up
do
my game. Yeah, better, yeah, better pull this up. And also there was a product placement thing there where two Swiss companies were going. One was trying to get them to say hot chocolate, and one was trying to say cuckoo clocks, and they got the cuckoo clock money, and that's why they mentioned that.
That is not true at all.
That's absolutely true.
Because the actual truth is the Zither lobby was the one that really made out in that film like bandits. Everyone had Zither albums after that movie.
Happy Zither. All right. I'm going to whip through quickly his top five overrated movies.
Oh, we did overrated as well.
Yes, we do. Because we're at an hour right now, David. And
okay.
I know we're running late.
So let's whip it out.
We're going to whip it out.
Whip it out.
Whip it good. Here we go.
Do,
whip it.
Do, 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 do.
Number five. Well, he's wrong about this one, so fuck that. Number four, also
no,
wrong.
Let's
number three, haven't seen. Number two, maybe. Number one, I agree with. Okay.
Hey, everybody. Thanks
okay,
for tuning in.
Number five.
Stick a dragon.
Number five, The Sixth Sense.
The Sixth Sense?
Yeah.
Overrated?
I disagree with that. I think every film since that. Well, maybe Unbreakable had some good.
Nope.
No, Unbreakable did have some good.
Nope.
It's got a bad ending, but it's got a good first,
too
first
slow.
Half.
Too slow.
Okay. Well, David's wrong. We will agree that David's wrong, but The Sixth Sense. No, I thought that was
That's
really well
movie.
Laid out. Now,
oh yeah,
now
and I was lucky enough to see it without anyone spoiling it, so I'm not going to spoil it.
Same with me.
Yeah,
and both I was there seeing it with my friend Roger because you were sick that day, And both of us, like, when it came to the whoa, it was like, whoa!
Yeah,
good
were,
for
like,
you.
Honestly surprised. It was really, it didn't telescope that ending.
Yeah.
It didn't, is that what I mean? Telescope?
Yeah, sure,
is that
let's go. Right? Telegraph.
Telegraph. It didn't either.
Telescope, telegraph, telewoman, am I right?
It didn't make it look larger than it was. It did not tell you it was coming.
But the old twisty twist ending has become golden handcuffs for M. Night Shyamalan.
Yes, I have to say that his twist ending to his career has been rather sad. I saw Devil.
Right.
Which was from the mind of M. Night Shyamalan.
Which should have been called Hellevator.
I think that is copyrighted or trademarked or patented by the Peony here, which has the ride of the Hellevator.
Okay. And then the Aerosmith song, Devil in an Elevator.
That would have been, they should have been playing that all the time as music on the elevator.
Did he just come up with that on the pitch, like on the way up? Mm-hmm. Just like, I got no ideas. Looking around.
Elevator.
Oh, this is elevator.
Devil's in the elevator. Did we just blow it? Did we give away the end?
And he's also in the details. No, they say that basically in the trailer. Okay.
Well, I spoiled the film to say it's not very good.
Yeah, we disagree with the... And also, I like all the things that are red in there to symbolize things.
It's fun.
Just good.
And it's scary.
Yeah, you know what
it's a scary movie.
Do you know what it does, which is like one of the scariest things, is where the kid is taking a whiz and something whips by. And in the back, it's just that's why you can't pee with the door open at night.
Oh, my gosh.
Because something's going to walk by. And
I do it all the time, but oh, my gosh.
I know. You really are scared.
Oh, my gosh.
Good for that kid. He grew up looking a little odd. But that's okay. Cute kids grow up looking weird. So if you're an ugly kid, good for you. Things are going to work out. Jerry O'Connell looked weird when he was young. Now could not be more handsome. And playing Herman Munster in the new Munsters remake.
Obvious place for handsome people.
And who's playing Grandpa in that Munsters? Eddie Izzard.
Oh, really?
Yes. Number four. Disagree with this. Maybe I don't disagree with this. Boy, howdy. Superman 2.
Superman 2, overrated?
I think, I was saying Superman was overrated.
Yeah.
It's got the same problems in that you've got the comedy that's just the Yeah.
She fell off the building and landed on the canopy.
But I think the villains in that are some of the best villains I've seen in a superhero movie ever. They have that proper arrogance. Yeah. Like Zod.
Yeah, he's good.
Has the nice sneering arrogance that Loki now has in the Avengers movie. I think he, you know, you've got, get a British person to play your villain. Thing one.
Tom Middlebrow as Loki in the...
Yeah. You want a British person to be sneering and you want an American guy to punch him in the face.
I believe it
guy
was...
Guy dressed in a flag, punching him in the face.
I believe it was Terrence McDaniels who played General Zod.
No. Stamping all over that. Does he have an accent in it? Did Terrence Stamp have it?
Yes, he did.
Why? What's the deal with that? Is there a British part of Krypton?
There's a British part of Krypton. I think you develop it in the Phantom Zone.
Yeah, right. Hello, hello, hello. I'm from Krypton, I am.
Throw the dog a bone.
Yeah.
That's what they call the Phantom Zone. It's a rhyming... It's a... What's the planet called again? Krypton?
Yeah.
Krypton rhyming slang.
All right. Now, here's the thing. The movie does have really good villains.
I forgot what it was called.
That's all right. Good villains. They don't dance around the Lois and Clark thing. That's lovely.
Yeah.
They actually get together.
It's kind of dumb, though.
It's a little bit dumb. Well, the dumbest thing is...
What about Lex Luthor getting into
the kiss of forgetfulness.
That's terrible.
Now, here's the thing that you see in this movie that you see in all movies, and it makes you go...
It's kind of like the time thingy in the first film.
Reversing the world. He mentions here in his list all versions, including the Richard Donner cut, which then ends with the same ending as the first movie, going back in time. But here's what happens. Superman finally stops lying to Lois and goes, look, I'm Superman.
Yeah.
And she goes, oh, and then things are fine.
Yeah.
And then they get to have sex.
Yeah.
And everyone's happy. And she's not lied to. And she's a better person for it. And everyone's great. And when you look in the Spider-Man movies, she finds out. And now they have sex, and everything's great, and they have a good time, and things are great. And it's just like, what happens in the Batman movies? Well, now they have fun, and then they have sex, and then it's fine. Listen, here's the thing. One, your secret identity is gonna get you laid, and you're all going to be, like, better off. So stop it. Like, just the secret identity makes no sense at all when it comes to people you love.
In the Batman film, she betrays him.
Who betrays? Are you talking the most recent one? Well, that was going to happen anyway.
Talia Khan.
That was a big, long con. All right. Now we're talking number three, The Curious Case of Benjamin Button.
Did not see it?
Did not see it either.
For the very reason that it is a David Fincher film, and I am not a fan of David Fincher.
Okay, very good.
But I will go into that later.
It's about a guy aging backwards.
Yes.
Much like...
based on a book by the... Oh, forget it.
If Orson Welles had Benjamin Button disease, that would have been great. What's that?
Fitzgerald.
Fitzgerald.
Based on a story by John F. Kennedy.
That's right. Of Fritz Freeling.
Fritz Freeling.
Ba, 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 ba. Number two.
Hello, everyone. I murder children.
You should not be murdering children.
And that's the kid running, going beep, beep. And he's just chasing after the kid, just wanting to kill him. Molestus Primus. Okay, number two. I'm really sorry, everybody. Once again, very late. Number two, The Hangover.
Overrated?
Yeah, I like it. And also, that's, I think, silly. It's got one of the strongest endings.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you like the movie, there's a second movie called The Hangover 2 that's the same damn movie. So you can watch it twice if you want.
I have it sitting in limbo on my PVR.
Yeah,
quite,
we watched it one night and just went like, yeah, okay, well, you did it again.
I'm like, what should I watch? Hangover 2? Oh, new episode of Emergency. I'll watch that.
It also has if you want to see the ending of Hangover 2, it's also the same ending of Harold and Kumar's Christmas movie.
I have not seen that either.
Yeah. Basically, it's standing up to the dead.
So The Hangover, why would that be overrated?
I think
Thomas Calloway, you are walking a thin line here.
Write us back and tell us why we're wrong, Thomas Calloway.
Please do.
Also, you know what? Zach Galifianakis used to do stand-up around town when he was working on True Calling here. Yeah. And
TRU Calling.
That's right. Or he used to call it, I think, like Truly Dreadful or Truly Appalling. That's what he used to call it. Yeah. Everyone here just knew what an amazing stand-up he was. And then Comedians of Comedy, just amazing. And great. So I like the film for no other reason than it was the breakout film for him, and he deserved to be seen as a performer, and good for him. And some of his films have been actually pretty good, and some of them not so good.
I think I've only seen one other one that he did, which was Due Date.
Due Date, yeah, there's some funny in there.
Okay.
There's some in there.
Pretty good.
He also did one, Mental Hospital.
That's good. That's a good one. I like that one. It's a funny story.
He's done one about people exploding from stress.
Didn't see that one, but I think he was in that Dinner with Idiots, whatever it was called.
Yes, he was.
I did not see that.
And now Rick Polterek, another comic who used to perform, do improv in town with us, he is in that as a man with a giant mustache.
Ooh.
Was also in Willow as one of the brownies. Number one, nice guy, very nice guy. Number one, a most overrated film.
Film, according to Thomas Calloway.
All right. Now, I don't want to argue with you about this one, Dave.
Okay. You don't want to argue?
And that's no soft soap.
Just tell me what it is. I'm terrible at it.
Maybe we'll go afterwards out for some meatloaf. Fight Club.
Fight Club?
Yes.
Oh, I wish I could go into this because this is a topic I have to talk about on another show.
Dave has been set off on this one.
Yeah, I mean
it's Halloween and the firecrackers are popping.
That film is a great movie.
Oh, okay. You've got to do you want to make some points right now or do you want to save it for next week? Give
us
a preview.
This is what I think.
Okay.
I think Thomas Calloway doesn't like the surprise ending. Doesn't like the reveal.
Okay.
Doesn't like Sixth Sense.
Okay.
Doesn't like The Hangover.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't like Fight Club, which is a freaking fantastic movie. And I do not like David Fincher. And I'm going to tell you right now, this is blowing it, because this was a question someone asked us, but I'm going to blow it anyway. If I had to name an overrated director, it would be David Fincher. And I'll talk about this later in more detail. But the one film by him that I love and which makes me so disappointed in him is Fight Club. I really do like that movie.
It disappoints you because you have to like him?
No, it is because it's so good. It doesn't explain the rest of his oeuvre.
Okay.
So, but I mean, that film has Brad Pitt, who's awesome in it. Ed Norton is great in that film.
Meatloaf.
Meatloaf is Meatloaf in that movie.
Meatloaf with boobs.
Bonham Carter.
Yeah.
Really moves out of her previous prissy roles the ivory merchant.
Say, Tim Horton movies.
Well, not even
she does a lot of Tim Horton movies.
Yeah, those Tim Horton ads that she does. I love sprinkled donuts. I think more of her the ivory merchant.
Yes.
Or merchant ivory, I mean. Merchant ivory merchant. The merchant ivory movies.
That's
you know,
right. All the movies where she's killing elephants.
Where she's killing elephants.
Never
selling,
forget, everybody. Never forget. It's the ivory merchants.
It's also called The Piano. And so, but that film, and what, you know, I always like a movie that goes to its natural conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to, if you haven't seen Fight Club, turn off the podcast.
Right. Now's a good time to turn off the podcast, right? So you know what? Turn it back on in 2 minutes. Move ahead 2 minutes.
About the ending.
Okay, go.
The end of the film when he shoots himself. I mean, that is brilliant. It's just so, it just goes to the end of the film. And you know what? It's just, I don't know. I just love that film. I just think it's a masterpiece.
Okay, so you are
saying.
And
the book is not that great.
So you're saying
the movie's way better than the book, which is rare.
That our listener Thomas
is wrong.
Thomas Calloway can go fuck himself.
I did not say that.
So you're saying.
But what I'm saying is that when
unsubscribe,
I see him,
Thomas, we do not want your kind around here.
Before you
no
unsubscribe,
more. Please, listen, boy.
Please review
you
the
start
film.
Walking.
I mean, please review the show on iTunes.
Yeah, please you review the show on. Oh, please do.
Before you
please review the show on
before
iTunes.
Before you unsubscribe in a huff.
Yeah, or Stitcher if we get on that. We don't know.
We don't know.
We don't know how that works yet.
We don't even know what it is. It's Stitcher in time. The
are we sponsored by Audible?
We are sponsored by Inaudible.
Inaudible books. The books, all your favorite books mumbled towards you.
Mumbled. Yes, they're all read by Randy Newman.
It was the best of times.
Listen, Dr. John also does readings
right.
for it. And who else? Who else can do it? Dr. John.
I'm going to say... And the guy who played Mumbles in the Dick Tracy movie.
Dustin Hoffman?
Sure. Because he played Mumbles.
He did play Mumbles.
Who has mouths full of marbles?
What do you think about Fight Club?
What do I think about Fight Club?
Did we see that together?
It's quite possible. I like it. It didn't have a huge impact on me. It was like, yeah, it's really good. But didn't
No,
make...
it didn't make me want to burn down the banks or whatever.
No, no.
But this is
but
a
it
film.
Did... Okay, but it was one of those films that I enjoyed it while watching it.
Yeah.
I technically admired it, but it didn't make a home in my heart.
Yeah.
And it's not one that I would go like, oh, I'm going to search that out again or like, hey, I'm going to get the DVD. It was just like, hey, good on it.
Wow, that's interesting. Because that film really... Because I just like how nihilistic it is and it just goes for the ride.
Yep.
Goes right to the end.
Agreed.
And doesn't wimp out.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't cop out.
Yep.
It just goes to this. Whoop,
it's
there
one
we
of
are.
Those films, like, I'll give you an example.
It's a fantasy.
Yeah.
It's science fiction, if you want to call it that. It's, you know.
This is a weird comparison. It's another Vietnam movie. Jacob's Ladder. Like a movie like Jacob's Ladder, where I just go, okay, you know, it was like technically really on the money.
Okay.
You know, it delivered what it went. It went all the way. I don't need to see it again in my life.
No.
You know, it's.
But it's a bit grimmer. Like, I think. Fight Club ends. It ends with a celebration.
Sure, sure. Yeah, okay.
Celebration
it doesn't
of
end
life.
With Macaulay Culkin taking you to heaven.
Yeah, it ends with a celebration of you know, just shoots himself in the
Woo!
Head. Yeah,
yeah.
Then he leaves bleeding from the mouth, bleeding from you know, he's got a hole in the side of his neck. Smoke. You know, I don't know. I think that film really.
You know what?
And I love the.
Let me just say this. And I think it's a very important thing to bring up is that if you've listened to the show or all these episodes, maybe you figure this out. Maybe you haven't. Dave and I are the same person. You know how? And here was the.
I am Tyler Durden.
Here was the clues that if you look back, we both went to Burnsview School. We both were involved in sketch comedy.
Yep.
We both were cartoonists.
Yep.
And we've seen every movie. That the other person has seen. That was the obvious one. That we have seen these movies, wink, wink, together.
Together.
Okay. Yeah. You know?
So when you see us talking about the film in the theater, yes.
You know what it is.
Then you see just
and
one person talking
to
himself.
We sell soap on the Sneaky Dragon website.
But that film...
Twist!
Wasn't that film one of the first films to have, like graphics, like, to use writing on the screen?
Could be.
Like, when they're showing, like, his apartment and they're
and
making
the
it into an IKEA catalog?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I think that's really cleverly done.
I think probably...
And the cynicism of the film with his job is, you know, estimating possible risk assessment. Like, what the car industry would lose by doing a recall versus what it would lose by just letting people die.
Do you know what film I didn't like almost because I liked this film too much?
Okay.
Was it Wanted?
Oh.
Is it that film?
Where with, it's like, Angelina Jolie? And
yeah, like, and the guy who's like at his job and he hates his job and he like hits someone with a keyboard and like the words fuck off or something come out in the keys and it's just like all this stuff and it just went, hey, you know Fight Club. So you're trying to be Fight Club. Stop it now with all the, I get it. And you're right. Probably the words were not done in film before, but it like that was when I saw that, I went like, oh, you're using the tricks that music videos use now.
Oh, okay.
Which is a smart
thing.
That's
where Fincher came out of. So.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it felt like. It felt like he has taken that, which people are comfortable with, or at least younger people were comfortable with.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, now you're bringing that to film. About time. Good for you.
And I have to say that the film is also fun to watch when you know the twist. It's
fun
to watch the reactions.
A la Sixth Sense.
I guess, yeah, that's true. I've watched Sixth Sense a few
times.
Both
of those films are good to watch the second time, and you go like, oh, there you go. Oh, by the way, hi, listener that came back 2 minutes later. Hi, we spoiled it a little earlier, but don't worry about it. We're not going to spoil it.
Yeah, we're not going to spoil it.
Okay. We are...
Sixth Sense. Can I just say one thing about Sixth Sense?
It was better than The Fifth Sense.
That's right.
All right, give me your 2 cents about The Sixth Sense. Go.
No, it's okay. We already talked about it.
Did we?
Did we agree on any one of his choices for... I kind of agreed on Superman 2. I pretty much figured that almost all superhero films are...
Oh, boy, it's tough. Superman 2, boy, that is a best of times, worst of times.
Except for Ang Lee's Incredible Hulk, I think all superhero films are overrated.
Really?
I know, I'm joking.
Okay.
I'm joking. I do think all superhero films are overrated.
Dark Knight.
Overrated.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
Disagree on that.
I know.
Okay.
That's okay. You're allowed to.
Spider-Man 2.
Okay, let me amend it slightly.
Okay, Avengers.
Because I would put Avengers, I would put outside of that as well. But Spider-Man 2 and Avengers, yeah. Outside of those two films, I think most superhero films are disappointments.
Okay.
What are you going to say? You're going to have another one? Greatest American Hero?
No. I was going to throw in Scott Pilgrim, but that's just because that's one of my favorite films.
Yeah, but it's not really it's not a superhero film.
He is a hero, and he has superpowers.
It's not a superhero film.
All right, we'll agree to
disagree. Under no circumstances is that a superhero
film. Dave is wrong.
He doesn't have an alter ego.
Dave is wrong.
Doesn't have a secret
identity.
But
remember, I am a dummy.
He doesn't lie to
his... Do you need a secret identity to be a superhero?
Yeah.
Disagree. What's the Hulk's secret identity?
Bruce Banner.
It's not secret. Everyone knows it. Hey, there's Bruce Banner. He's the Hulk. Get him.
Is that true?
Yeah. Everyone knows it's Bruce Banner.
But he's not really a superhero, the Hulk, is he?
Well, he's in superhero teams. He started the Avengers.
He didn't start the Avengers.
Yes, he did start the Avengers.
The Incredible Hulk started the Avengers.
Yes, he did, sir.
How? He phoned people with his... he would break all the phones.
Are we talking about the comic or are we talking about the movie? Because both are the Hulk starting the Avengers.
In the movie, the Hulk starts the Avengers. How?
He's the first damn team of the Avengers. Did you see the movie? He's there.
But he doesn't start it.
Well, when does it start?
Does he phone people and ask them to join the Avengers? I thought that was Nick Fury. He shows up at the end of every bloody movie and asks the guy to join the Avengers.
He's the guy sending out invitations. He's not in it. The Avengers is in the first team. I know
the Incredible Hulk is in the Avengers.
That's right. That's why he started
the Avengers.
Oh, okay, fine. So if someone like calls in musicians mm-hmm. to be in a band,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The members of the band that start off in the band, do they start
No,
the
they
band?
Don't start the band.
Okay, so the Monkees did not start the Monkees.
No, of course not. It was started by Bob Raffleson and the other guy.
All right, so there we go. Welcome to Technical Talk. Fine. That's great. All right.
I just don't think he started it.
That's great stuff. Everybody, you know what I started? I started an improv show called Sideswipe, and that's going to be November 5th at the Havana Theater here in Vancouver.
Did you invite people to join Sideswipe?
I did, actually, and I've invited them on Facebook.
No, you started it. The same way Nick Fury started the Avengers.
Also, I don't. And the Avengers also started in the 50s. It doesn't matter. And Nick Fury wasn't involved. But it's, you know what? Let's not even get into this.
Let's not split hairs.
Sideswipe is an improv show where if you've seen theater sports, it's got improv games. But in this case, you can actually lose members of your team to the other team. So it makes it exciting. It makes it fun. It's a new format. Hope you come and see it. Anything for you to mention going on that you're going to go see or do or hang out about?
Nope.
Oh, and also if you're in Victoria, I'm at something.
Oh, wait,
this weekend.
Before
look me up. You'll see. I'm at some collector show this weekend. I'm also doing a signing at Curious Comics in Victoria.
Is it a car collector show?
No, it's not a car collector show. But anyway, Curiosity Comics, we're doing a signing. But it will have happened a couple of days by the time you hear this.
It's called Curiosity Killed the Comics.
Yes. It's the old curiosity shop. You walk inside, a whole bunch of dead cats on the floor.
Oh. Well, before our next show, something very important is going to happen. And that is my wife's birthday on Halloween. So I'll say happy birthday, Lisa.
Or happy booth day.
Happy booth day?
Booth day.
Oh, booth day.
Like a ghost would say that.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that's a nice thing. What are you going as, by the way, for Halloween?
I'm going as a shriveled dick.
Is that a British food?
Yes, it's kind of a pudding.
Spotted dick.
It's kind of a pudding.
That's right. By the way, when people make jokes about spotted dick, it looks like a Dalmatian. That's why mm-hmm. people.
Come on, guys.
Grow up.
They used to sell it in a tin at Woodward's.
Yes, they did.
Mm-hmm.
Their dick floor. Yes. Remember when they had their year-long big dick sale?
I do.
All the dick products.
And then there was $1.49 dick.
That's right.
$1.49
day.
Dick
Tuesdays. Okay. Look, this show ain't getting any better. We're just going to pull the chute right now.
Let's go.
You know what? Did you see that guy in Red Bull jump out of the thing?
Geronimo.
That's us. That's us. We're in the spin.
That.
We're in the spin right now.
I missed
the
whole thing.
What it was. He jumped out and he fell.
That's it.
You know.
Is that what people are getting so excited about?
Yeah, he fell.
Did you see what Ricky Gervais wrote?
No, what?
It was like...
Something mean?
Yeah, it was Dear Religion. I made a man jump from space. You shot a child in the face for wanting to go to school. Signed, Science.
Yeah. Okay. First of all, on that.
Mine was, Dear Science, you invented the gun. Signed, everyone.
That's pretty good. The thing about bragging about a guy in space falling real fast, mm-hmm. you know, it was entertaining. Mm-hmm. It was cool.
Yeah.
We didn't learn nothing. It's fine. Yeah. It's Red Bull. That's okay. You know, but.
So did he drink Red Bull and then jump off the.
Yeah, it gives you wings. Apparently, it did not give you wings.
It didn't
No,
work
it's fine. It's fine that you're doing it. Mm-hmm. I don't mind daredevil-y stunts.
Sure.
That's absolutely fine. But don't confuse it with, like, astronaut work. Because astronauts are discovering shit.
Yeah.
That's different. He's dressed like an astronaut, okay. but he's a daredevil.
So did he have a parachute?
Yeah, because he'd die otherwise.
I don't know. I didn't see it.
As high as possible.
I didn't see it.
He didn't have a parachute?
Well, I just wondered. Like,
okay, did you think this was a suicide?
Yes.
All right.
Well, that would be impressive.
Is that what everyone's excited about?
Yeah, some guy jumped to his death.
No, I didn't have a parachute.
Space.
No. What they did was they put a trampoline on
well,
the ground.
Well, what I thought... I thought he had a hang glider.
Mm.
And he just coasted down in, circles for 4 hours.
Sure.
These long, deep, long circles.
Why not?
Circling down, lower and lower.
He wanted to prove there was a Superman.
Okay.
And he gave Superman as much time as possible.
We've all heard about it happening.
That's right.
People who think Superman's real strap a towel around their neck
and
jump out of a spaceship.
And the whole time he fell, they played that frisk freeling sound effect of the coyote falling. Just yeah, that ends with a poo, because he pooed his pants. Wrap up the show, Dave. We're done.
Well, thanks for listening, everyone.
Except for that one guy who sent us that list, Tom Calloway.
Tom Calloway?
Yeah.
Wait, what's wrong with that?
Well, Mr. List. With all his things.
Stuff we appreciate.
Thinks he's better than us.
We appreciate people doing that. And also we appreciate people writing us questions and asking us questions because in a few shows, very soon.
Will be our
50th episode. And I believe we're going to do it as a.
Question period.
We'll be taking listeners' questions about politics and answering. I'll be speaking for the right.
Harumph.
Ian will be speaking from the farther right.
Of course, yeah. The Canadian right is the left of any American left.
Yes. That's pretty much where I stand. So everyone...
I say you should only get triple welfare.
You should only get paid welfare 7 days a week. Rhubarb, applesauce.
Free rhubarb and applesauce to everyone.
On that note, we say good night, goodbye, good day, good riddance to all of you from Sneaky Dragon, to all of us from Sneaky Dragon. Goodbye, everyone.
And bless. Sent me a book of his cartoons. I haven't opened it yet, so I don't feel guilty yet about not reading them.
that's your idea of Schrodinger's cat. There's no book in there until I open it.
Pretty much. That's how I deal with calls from credit agencies as well.
I hear you.